Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Regardless, the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios, beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. And here we are, middle of February already. Barbecue Bob, where is this year going?
Well, it's been a bit cold the last couple days, let me tell you that.
Yes, it has.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for joining us. Welcome. It is the smokiest show on the airwaves. You can catch us all over the state of Michigan and New Jersey, and of course, in a podcast, which you can sign up right on our website. Look at the top right corner and look for those headsets. I won't call them earmuffs this time.
Although it is earmuff weather.
It is, yeah. So if you're walking around and you want to listen to the show, you can put your earmuffs on, and hopefully there's speakers in them.
Right, exactly. But, hey, speaking of frozen, we're going to clean out the freezer today. And basically, if you guys got a deep freeze like I do and like Bob does, there's stuff that gets lost down in the corner.
Way lost.
Yeah, and it's like every once in a while you just got to go through there and clean everything out.
When did I shoot a moose?
Right, yeah, exactly. You had a brother, though, that did it.
20 years old.
Right, yeah. But anyway, so we're gonna go up and down the freezer, and we'll be talking to our friend Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. He's going to give us a little advice on how long things can last in the freezer, specifically meat.
Yes, indeed.
And up and down, we got a bunch of other people to talk to.
Speaking of Sobey, I had a nice trip over there yesterday, and I can let the cat out of the bag now because it already happened, but I bought my wife a couple of these beautiful, my wife and I, a couple of beautiful inch-and-a-half Wagyu porterhouse and did them up on my Cajun grill last night. Let me tell you.
That's charcoal, right?
Oh, my gosh, were they gorgeous. I scored big time.
Well, I doesn't need to get that personal.
Also, I finally figured out a good gift for my bride, and I bought her a beautiful Chase lounge for our master suite because it's now so big that we had this huge piece on the front that had like a hope chest, and we're out of hope. So that didn't need to be there.
So she's looking like Cleopatra laying that thing right now, right?
Oh, yeah. And I thought it was going to be all about me, but she's telling me how it's going to be great to read the grandkids' books on it. that's a Debbie Downer.
Right. Yeah. Well, hey, that's the way that stuff works at our age, right?
Yes.
I mean, you know, you're going to do that.
I had a nice trip over to Plymouth, Michigan, where, of course, Old World Olive Company has a store.
Right.
And I gave out gift cards. We had our carrier annual dealer meeting at a place called St. John's, and it's an old abbey. It's a gorgeous resort with a golf course, and it is so posh and so high-end. So we really treated our carrier dealers around the Great Lakes to a wonderful couple of days. I just wish my girl would have been there because I went up to this giant suite, and I'm there all by myself at night.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, man. I could have scored some big points with this because my wife loves a fancy hotel room.
Oh, sure.
And I personally don't really care. I can watch TV from bed. I don't need a living room to watch.
Right,
But in Plymouth, there's a place called Vanguard. And if you're into classic cars, this is probably one of the coolest businesses you'll ever want to stumble onto. It's called Vanguard. And my dealer from Mount Pleasant, his name is Dan Rons. He's got two first names like Ricky Bobby.
Is he a driver?
From Custom Heating up there, my big carrier dealer, and he was down to the meeting. And one of the ways I conned him into coming to the meeting was to trick him into going to Vanguard. So he brought his girl, and he left the meeting and went to Vanguard to check out some cars. And we all love muscle cars, right, and classic cars.
Sure.
So he's texting me all the way home about this Camaro he was looking at. And anyway, Vanguard. If you like muscle cars, go to Plymouth, spend 4 or 5 hours because there's 190 cars right now. There's typically about 300 in there. It's all inside.
Wow.
It's like a mall with the sweetest I mean, heart-throbbing American muscle cars you'll ever want to see.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it really is.
I bet there's some, besides an Old World Olive Company, there's some breweries down in Plymouth, too, that you could hit after you've looked at the cars.
Well, there might be. I don't know. I know there's the downtown Plymouth has just a ton of restaurants.
Right.
And this time of year, especially at night, this it is so pretty. It's like you're almost back in time. A lot of old buildings and people walk in the streets. It's a very wealthy town.
Okay.
And so you won't find any cheap deals in any of these stores,
right.
but you're going to find some totally cool stuff, and your wife will be thrilled if you take her down there.
Right.
Make sure you get yourself to Old World and Vanguard. You can get her some oil and get yourself a nice car.
Right. Yeah. What a deal.
And they're not a sponsor.
Right.
I just love the place.
Right. Yep. Very good.
I like shopping in places where I know I can't afford to buy.
Right.
They had a 1967 or 68, whenever the Bullet came out from Mustang. $227,000.
Right.
This thing is showroom condition. I mean, it is, oh my gosh. I love that 67 Fastback Mustang, you know.
Right.
Who was it? Steve McQueen, was it in Bullet, or who was it?
I don't know. I don't remember.
So many cars. Mustangs, Camaros, and Chevelles, Corvettes, 64 Corvette that I absolutely fell in love with.
Right. So I went to Sobeys last weekend after the show. We had some kids coming over for Sunday for dinner, and they wanted a grilling guy steak, right? So I get up to the counter at Sobeys, and I'm going to order New York strips because I'm feeding two ladies and then just Ian and I.
Right.
And he's like, well, hey. He goes, I got this Wagyu beef. Same thing. You got the porterhouses this week. He said, well, you know, these T-bones, they're right at the end of the cut. They're almost like a New York strip anyway.
They have a strip in them.
Right. And the filet part was smaller. And he's like, you know what? Just take these in, as opposed to the New York strips. I want you to try these. And the Wagyu beef, the difference is that it's much more marbled. And then if you've eaten a lot of steak, this will relate to you. But the fat was almost a buttery flavor rather than
because it's so marbled.
Regular fat taste. And fat is flavor. Some people cut it away and don't eat it. That's a giant mistake in my book. I'm not going to eat mouthful after mouthful, but you want some of it in a bite.
If you do it on a nice charcoal grill.
Which I did.
Right? Yep. And you do it at a really high temperature, the edge of that fat gets really crispy, like bacon.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's doable.
Right.
And if there's not too much on there, you don't end up with like a mouthful of blubber.
Right.
But the beautiful thing about the Wagyu or Kobe, American version of Kobe beef, basically.
Right.
Is that the meat itself has a lot of fat in it. And that's the beauty. You don't, even if you want to cut the outside fat off, you're going to get all that moisture inside from the marbling that was there, and you're going to reduce it as you cook it. So you won't really see it. You'll taste it.
Right. And, you know,
again,
the number one thing is if you don't have a great feel with your tongs or with your eye, you need to put a thermometer in these because, you know, they were 15.
They're going to be softer.
They were $15 a piece steaks. You don't want to overcook them because you can't uncook them.
They're hard to tell from the touch if you're used to doing basic meat.
Right, yeah, and you're right. They are a little softer with all that marbling in there. I didn't use I'm not bragging, but I'm just saying I can tell when a steak's done on my grill, right?
Uh-huh.
And
that's bragging.
And so I was able to pull it. I was able to pull them in time, and we had one of the four of us that wanted it medium, and the rest were medium rare. And so, you know, you just watch it and do it. But
hey, it's not bragging if you can do it.
Right, yeah. Yeah, if you can back it up, right?
That's
it's not
right.
bragging if you can back it up. But anyway, coming up next, if you're looking in your freezer, there might be some roast down there or some chops. And we're going to talk about some things that you can do with those to make it just a little bit special when you pull it out of the freezer. Stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios, beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. Cleaning out the freezer, Bob. That's what we're going to do. And I think we got some ideas here on a couple cuts of meat. What's in your freezer that is going to come out and get rid of here soon?
Well, I think because it's that time of year, you kind of slow down on some things, even though I'm like Mr. Drywall these days.
But I've been talking about that for a month. You're not Mr. Drywaller. That job would be done. It's not that big.
It's looking perfect, so I'm taking my time unusually.
That's unnermical.
Uncharacteristic of me. I tend to work really fast and not worry about the slop. This, I'm being very meticulous.
Why is that? It's because it's your office. Yes, it's not anywhere else in the house, right?
Don't tell my wife, but it's my man cave. I'm calling it my office because I'm hogging up like 400 square feet. But I hope she's not listening.
The vault is right off the office.
It is.
And it's not full of money. I'm going to tell you that now.
Yes, that's right. So I also cleaned out my beer fridge the other day, and I happened to find some Schmoes Kiss My Scottish Arse, which was a thrill because
I got three bottles left.
That is the best Scotch ale I've ever had from our sponsor, Schmoes. And I love Scotch ale, this time of year in particular.
Right.
But right now, since I drank those the other night, we're having a Bell's Lighthearted Ale, which is the two-hearted light beer that they came out with.
And
what do you think of that?
You know what? I really enjoy it. I you talked to me about this about a week ago, and I bought a six-pack of this Lighthearted Ale, and I also bought a six-pack of the regular two-hearted ale because I just wanted to see what the difference was. And, you know, one's not going to make that up, so I got to have six.
They're really close.
But they are. They're very close. I really couldn't tell much of a difference.
This is just 3.7 ABV instead of
5.7. Yeah, and it's lighter.
5.7.
Right. It's 5. Lighter 8. That way, but it's also a little less calories. But as far as the flavor, I really couldn't discern a difference between the two. So you're looking for a little lighter.
You're not getting robbed.
A little more of a session beer. At the 3.2 alcohol level, too.
So it's time to clean out the freezer, Jop.
Yep.
And I did a little bit of that again this morning, and I pulled a bunch of stuff out. But one of the things you might find, especially if you're a hunter, you might have, I think, anytime I've got venison, I always end up, the last stuff I have left is the roasts.
Right.
Because I'm not as big a fan of venison roast, simply because it's a pretty good sized chunk of meat.
Yep.
And now that everybody's
the
gone.
Neck or rump?
Well, there's any one. It doesn't matter.
Right. I
shoulder.
Right. Yep. I had a rump roast. It's the last one I had.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
So you're going to find likely that there's some freezer burn on it. So what we want to deal with in this show is taking care of that freezer burn. And, you know, I know people in the past who see freezer burn and they throw the meat out.
Right. Which is not necessary at all.
Huge mistake.
Right.
It's just on the surface. Now, I have a really old, a 50-year-old freezer that my father-in-law gave me when they
bought. That's the ones that don't auto-defrost, right?
Yeah, when they bought their condo.
Right.
And that thing, I know it's not that efficient, but it's gigantic. You could fit three Jimmy Hoffas in that thing.
Right.
And
or one cow.
Yeah, at least.
Right.
A cow and a pig.
You've proven that.
Cow and
not
a hog.
The Hoffa part, cow but the cow.
Yeah. So the old ones don't self-defrost. Now, I did notice, I think when I was at Garrett's Appliance, that they also had some freezers that did not have auto-defrost on them.
Right.
That's an option now. And I would highly recommend you get that kind, because a defrosting freezer basically has heat strips in the walls, and every couple of days it heats up and melts the ice off and
right.
lets it run into the pan. Well, that's what a big cause of your freezer burn
right.
is. It warms it up. It makes the outside of the meat that's near those walls slightly thaw, and any moisture that's generated therein causes frost on the outside of that, and it does that enough times that it just burns. It's like a burn. It's like a vinegar
burn. Well, it dries it out. It's condensation. It's sucking
the
moisture out.
It makes it taste like butt.
Right.
It's
yep,
terrible.
It does. It does. But the thing is you take one of those out and it's got freezer burn on it. You'll see in a roast, you'll see a little gray on it maybe. But you can just pale gray, yeah. Take a sharp knife and just cut that off. And I'd maybe go like a quarter inch below it.
Yep.
Just to get it all.
Yep.
But then what you have there is still
the same old meat.
Same old meat.
So
yeah.
Here's what I do when I do it. I'll just let it start thawing a bit so that the outside is starting to get a mm-hmm. little bit mushy. And then the inside's still firm. It's much easier to carve it off of there
right.
that way.
Right.
And then just wrap the thing back up and set it on the counter or in the fridge or wherever you're going to thaw it. But like those roasts, even if you suspect that it's a little old,
mm-hmm.
it might not be the highest quality. That's a great thing to just chop up for jerky.
Right.
And if you've never made jerky, go to thegrillingguys.com, look up some jerky recipes. There's quite a few of them on there, and there's a ton online if you don't like ours. But I think you'll like ours if you try any one of them. I think they're all really good, and I'm prejudiced. But,
right.
But I love jerky.
Yeah.
And then that's a great piece to make for jerky. You don't have to do anything but cut it into strips.
Yep.
And marinate it.
And you really don't have to worry about the grain, because there's
nope.
three or four muscles
yep.
in that roast.
Doesn't
just,
matter.
Just cut it up in little quarter-inch thick strips of whatever piece you've got in your hand. And, yeah, you're going to dry those out in a smoker with a little seasoning on them. Now, let me tell you where I went with this, because I did this before deer season, so it might have been like September.
You had to found some last
year's. Yeah, right. I found last year's roast. And what I did was I thawed it out. This one wasn't freezer burn, because I vac seal them. Right, and it
that
wasn't.
That helps.
Right, it wasn't, and I have a deep freeze that's not auto defrosting, so it was in there. But I cooked it like a pork butt, and I seasoned it on the outside. I put a little yellow mustard to get stuff to stick to it, and then I seasoned it up with just barbecue seasoning. There's many of them out there. I use Billy Bones, their barbecue seasoning. You can get that at Sobey Meats. You can get it a lot of places. But I smoked that thing, and I put because it's lean and it was a little smaller, I put a thermometer, internal temperature, got it to 195 degrees, pulled it, and then I shredded it, and then I made a beef stew / venison stew, roast stew.
Did you wrap it for the rest?
I did. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. It just like a roast for the pork butt, it comes and stalls at about 145, 150, stays there for a while, and then it goes up. When you hit that stall, that's when I wrap it and put it back in there, but I leave the thermometer in it because you don't want it overcooked. Unlike the pork, this was pretty lean, right? So I really didn't want to overcook it. There was no fat cap on it or anything. And I poured a little bit of beef broth in that foil before I wrapped it up tight so that I could keep some moisture in it, because a pork butt will generate its own moisture as it renders. This venison did not. So got it out of there. It was done enough that I could pull it apart. And then it's a different flavor than pork and a different flavor than beef. I tasted it, and it's like, I don't know as I want to eat 7 or 8 pounds of this like I would pulled pork.
So you put some sauce on it?
Well, no. I pulled it apart, and I made a huge pot of, like, stew and used it for the meat in the stew, and then packaged it up and froze those, and I'm still eating those. Right?
You know what I find is really nice for venison, because you'll get kind of that iron taste from it.
Mm-hmm.
I like to pepper it with thyme. I'm a thyme freak anyway,
right.
But I find that when I put thyme on it, it brings it back to like a stroganoff profile or something, and it gives it a flavor that's it takes care of that little bit of metallic taste you get sometimes from
right.
venison that turns people off.
Right, and it does. It's a unique flavor. But anyway, coming up next, we're gonna dive into some chops you might find there. Bob's got something on his show plan called Cuts for Fido. But he doesn't have Zeus anymore, but I've watched Zeus eat some mean, mean cuttings from raw meat. So stick with us. We'll be back. It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Threw your arms in the air and said you're crazy. 5 days since you tackled me. I still got the red burns on both my knees. It's been 3 days since the afternoon. You realize it's not my fault, but I'm only too soon. Yesterday you'd forgiven me. The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grillin' Guys. Build or redecorate with composite decking by TimberTech. Now through July 31st, you can save an extra 5% when you purchase both your composite decking and premium deck railing from Standard Lumber. TimberTech decking starts at $1.75 per lineal foot and is available in many styles and finishes. Visit your local Standard Lumber location for details and enjoy the outdoors on your new redecorated deck. Check them out at standardlumber.com.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guy rig, hit the brakes, it's going to be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grillin' Guys show.
Welcome back, you are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios, and we're talking about freezer meat, stuff that you have left over. You know, now's the time of year where you don't maybe go out as much, and because it's cold and wintry, so you're eating at home a little more, and it's a great time to empty out the freezer. And we were talking a little bit about a roast there in the last segment. You find some chops, not so many usually, because the chops usually go first. Interestingly enough, Bob, we were talking during the break about you used to have Rottweiler, what was his
Airedale.
Airedale mix, Zeus. Man, he was a good old boy. He
100
had
pounder.
Right. He had a great life. And I never forget the first few times that I went over and we were cooking briskets. And you got to trim a brisket, and there's quite a little bit of fat, but you also ultimately get some of the muscle meat when you're trimming the fat.
Well, sure.
Too.
What he would like is when I would cut the burnt edges off. That's freezer burn. It's actually from when they cryovac a brisket,
right.
But they burn the edges.
Right.
And I would never cook that. I see lots of guys cook it up, but you know it's messed up meat.
Right.
So I'd trim that off, and I'd just fling it at him, and he'd catch it.
Right.
Chop, chop, chop.
Never even stand up. He'd just catch it laying down.
Didn't even chew it.
Yeah. But, I've seen that dog eat pounds of raw meat, and didn't unfaze him a bit.
No, it's actually very good for your dog to have raw red meat.
Right.
The vets now tell you to do that, along with giving them whatever that supplement I was buying for him was. But either way.
Glucosamine is usually for the joints.
Well, there's this big Dynavite I used to put on his food. One of the keys is using your food quicker and don't let it stay in the freezer quite so long. You're not saving it up for Armageddon. If there's a national disaster, you're going to lose your electricity anyway. So the freezer, you're going to have to dump all that stuff sooner or later.
Right.
But the other thing is, you hit on it, storing your food properly. And if you have a seal a meal, which is cryovacking your food, it's plastic bags, it sucks the air out and then heat seals them. That's really the best way to put anything in the freezer. But right. I would tell you this even, before I do that, and I don't even use my heat sealer anymore, I wrap them in freezer paper and then put them in a large Ziploc. Mm-hmm. And then I literally, with my lungs, suck the air out of the bag, zip it. And with that freezer paper on it, you never get freezer burn.
Right.
It's really a great insulator.
See, and I always use my vac sealer. And, you know, it can get a little pricey. A box of those bags is like $40, but it goes a long way.
I still have the original ones that came with it.
Oh, do you? So, see, I use mine all the time because, you know, Sobey will have some meat on sale. One that I did recently was that red wattle. pork. I bought a whole loin,
right?
And it was, I don't know, what, 16 chops, right?
Right.
The rack of chops, and I cut those up in individual chops and put two of them in a bag.
How did you like that?
You know what? It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It was really good.
And
again,
Wagyu of pigs.
Right, yeah. It was an heirloom hog, and it was really good. And, you know, you got to go to a butcher like Sobey to get something like that. But there again, if you properly process it, right, he sold me the whole loin. I cut them up in all the chops, put two of them in a bag, one for me, one for Lisa. It worked great. You pull them out, throw them in the sink for an hour, and they'll thaw enough. You know what? Season them up, throw them on the grill. They're wonderful. But those will save. Yeah, yeah. Rob Russell, can't ever forget that man. But they'll keep for 3-4 months. But to your point, is I don't ever buy a half a beef, and you do. So, I know that. But you've got the horses that you're feeding.
Yeah.
And the boys still come by, and you got to produce a big meal. I don't produce that many big meals.
Well, the other thing you'll find is, like, and I just found some last night, was when you do a half a cow or whatever you're doing, a whole cow, quarter cow, I think you like this lighthearted ale, don't you?
I'm just a lighthearted guy. You know how I am.
Well, you're reaching for another one. You've still got a half here.
Well, no. I just know how you are, right? Yeah. You strike earlier, you'll never get yours.
I see. So
who brought this today anyway? Oh, that's right. You did.
I did.
Yeah, right.
So ground meats, that's one. I always end up with 5-10 pounds of hamburger.
Right.
And where I place that in the freezer, it never gets freezer burned. You can keep that stuff for 2 years down there. It's at the bottom.
Right.
And even if – because the door opening is really what messes your food up a lot too.
Right.
And we've all left the door open a little bit.
Right.
Or gotten some air in there in the summer, and you go in and it's like solid frost.
Right.
So it's full of snow. And that means you're pulling all your food out, putting it in coolers, and then unplugging that baby and
right.
defrosting it. But ground meats, what would you do with ground meats?
Well, you know what? If you've got a lot of it, meatballs are good. I think they go over really well. You got to have a few people around because I usually make a lot of them. I don't just dink around
right.
with little ones. But there's lots of different things you can do. There's a Mexican meatball that I've made before where I take the ground meat, whether it's venison or it's beef, whatever it is, and get some fresh chorizo. That is a Mexican spiced pork. And you mix it about 50-50 with the chorizo and the ground beef. And here's the cool part. You usually put breadcrumbs or something inside of a meatball to keep it together. There's egg as a binder. Crunch up some Doritos.
Some nacho chips.
Nacho chips. But I like the Dorito because it gives it a little bit of flavor. And you want to crunch them up pretty good so they're kind of like a powder. Mix it with the egg and the meat. And then that replaces the breadcrumbs, maybe some parsley, a little milk once in a while, but that egg,
and
salt,
they've
and pepper.
Then they won't even spoil because the Doritos got all those preservatives in it. That you can leave them on the counter for a week. And
right.
With the Twinkies.
But anyway, ball them up, size of a golf ball, yeah, with the Twinkies and everything else that's got a million preservatives. But about the size of a golf ball. I have a little clamshell thing that is hinged on one edge, and it's little cups, and the cups on top, too, and you put them together, and it holds the meatballs. So you can flip them. It's kind of like a little basket.
Like a little ball buster.
Yeah, that goes in them. And there's like a dozen of them that this thing holds. You don't have to do it this way, but I like to do it because I can grill them then. And, you know, just 4 or 5 minutes on each side, just like you'd cook a burger, but they're the meatballs. But with this chorizo and beef and the Doritos in there, just a little bit different way to do it. Everybody's got a little ground venison in there. And ground venison's usually lean. You put a little bit of this chorizo in there and spice it up a little bit.
And if your butcher makes chorizo,
yeah.
By all means, buy that.
Yep.
But there is also a brand, I can't think of the name of it. It comes out of like Arkansas or Texas or something. It's in the long tubes in your meat case, right near the smoky links and stuff by the other factory sausages that
right.
you get. And it's actually pretty good. It looks kind of like a Hormel, but it's not Hormel. I buy that for a chorizo if I'm not going to make it over to Sobey's. It's pretty
right.
reliable. It's very greasy. So if you're using
right.
ground venison, that's a great thing to add with it for
yep.
a Mexican meatball. And the Mexicans are famous for their meatballs, by the way.
Well, I just enjoy the spice flavor, and with the Doritos in there or corn chips, whatever you wanted to do, it just gives it a little bit of texture that
sure.
that a breadcrumb doesn't.
Yes,
so enjoyable. I just enjoy it. Other ground meat, you know, chilies. are a great thing to do with ground meat. It's one of those things is you usually get a lot of it off a deer,
yeah,
right? And that's what's left over most of the time is the deer, maybe some beef, but most of the people get a couple deer in a year, and then you're down to the bottom, and you're looking at it and going, holy cow, I got a lot of ground meat here.
Well, here's something that'll help you avoid the freezer burn is set your freezer at 0 degrees. Bring it down a little colder.
That's Fahrenheit, right? I mean, not, yeah, right.
Yeah, otherwise you'd be dancing,
at freeze,
dancing out the thaw.
Right.
So I got nothing.
Bottom line is use it as quick as you can, the meat in your freezer, because, and we're going to talk on the next segment with Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. If you're a first-time listener, he is our advisor and butcher of the Grilling Guys, but he also is a very knowledgeable guy when it comes to processing, handling, and storing meat.
Yep.
And we're going to talk to him about storing meat in the freezer, what works and what doesn't.
That's right. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. It's The Grilling Guys Facebook/ The Grilling Guys. I'm on Twitter and Instagram, Grilling Guy. And please give us a like, follow us, and you'll find some cool recipes and pictures.
All right. Coming up next, Tim Sobey on Keep Your Freezer Clean. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. We're going to be talking to a little dude that we know. He's our favorite butcher and advisor to the Grilling Guys. He's on the Grilling Guys line right now. That is Mr. Sobey, Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, we're fantastic. Thank you.
Just wanted to thank you for that beautiful Wagyu, those two porterhouse I picked up yesterday. I grilled them up for my bride last night, and she was totally satisfied by the end of that meal.
And that, so she was totally satisfied, and how did she like the steak?
She liked that too.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you,
you
what,
say
Tim.
That on the radio.
Yeah. Last weekend after the show, I came over to the store and we had Lisa's son and his girlfriend coming over, and I was going to get some New York strips just because they were, a little bit smaller steak, and got a couple ladies I'm cooking for. I didn't need big hunks of meat. And you recommended this Wagyu because you had some T-bones there that were kind of at the end of the loin cut. And mostly, I mean, a New York strip and a T-bone, the T-bone has a New York strip, right? So fabulous.
That's correct.
And you pointed out something to me, and I specifically did it, and that was I got that end tail on there with just a little bit of that fat, and I got it hot and crispy. And you said, Jop, just take that little piece of fat in your mouth and tell me. And you were spot on, man. It's buttery. And I don't know what makes it that way, but it wasn't a normal run-of-the-mill beef fat flavor. There was a real buttery flavor. And I just wanted to thank you for the tip on that because, boy, they love those steaks.
Good. And it's nice to hear that because I know that's my opinion, but I noticed that fat in that American Wagyu is having that buttery quality. Not, I'll use a term of like a greasy fat like you right. will get like on a ribeye or something. And but it's pretty special, isn't it, Josh?
It is. You know what? And it will not be my last time that I get that. And Tim, you guys carry that on a regular basis, don't you?
Yes, we do. And it's local raised. And I'm so excited for this year that we're able to get that. So it's basically a half-breed Wagyu. And for those that aren't familiar with it, it's a Japanese breed. Supposed to be the best beef in the world, and it started out as a work animal, and like a bodybuilder now, they're all ripped and lean and looking good, but they don't have any stamina. So what they did with these Wagyu beef as a work animal, they kept taking the ones that worked longer. Those are the ones that have more fat in them. So through the years, they continually refine that breed where it has more fat and marbling. That's how they are.
This sounds just like Bob.
I'm picturing these cows out doing their katas in the morning.
Right.
Getting ready for a little karate.
Yeah.
So we want to talk about how long meat will last in the freezer. People always ask and wonder about, you know, what is the safe time? What, you know, can you refreeze? Give us your freezer diatribe.
Well, we're going to break this into two freezers. Okay. The reason I say that, we're going to talk about the freezer in your refrigerator. The freezer in your refrigerator, they're made now where they self defrost. So what happens is the outside of whatever is in there, it's going to thaw, refreeze. You'll notice like your ice cream will get real gummy in there. That's because of that process. So meat is going to last way less time in your refrigerator freezer than if you have an actual deep freeze. And they're designed to just freeze everything and keep it frozen, and it doesn't defrost until you unplug that freezer. So if you were to have, let's pick on this American Wagyu. If you're going to have steaks and you thought, you know what, they were on sale, I bought a few of them, I'm going to throw some in the refrigerator freezer, I would suggest within a month to 2 months, you'd want to eat those up. If it was in a deep freeze, you could go up to a year.
And I don't know if I'd spend that kind of money on a couple steaks and throw them in any kind of freezer, because there, you can always just go back down to your butcher and buy a couple more when you want them. They're so good frozen. I mean, they're pretty good frozen, but they're so good fresh is what I meant to say.
Absolutely. Yes. Yep. And I don't know if there's any other market in town in the west side of Michigan that has American Wagyu fresh in their case on a regular basis.
We're going to say there's
at
not.
The risk of sounding, at the risk of sounding like I'm bragging, we're the only ones doing it right now.
Well, it ain't bragging if you can back it up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way this world works. And you went out of your way to serve your customer with the best product you can find, Tim, and that's why we love your market, is because that is just not in a Wagyu beef. I mean, your chickens are healthier, and the, you know, the, you're talking about your, what is that, red wattle pork that you carry,
yep.
and there's a whole up and down your 90 feet of meat counter, there's things in there that are, that you can't get anywhere else around.
So let's talk about how long you can keep your meat in the freezer.
Okay, so, well, we just talked about, like, between the two fresh meats, I would say a month, 2 months in a refrigerator freezer, fresh meats up to a year in a deep freezer, smoked meats in a refrigerator freezer, I'd say you'd want to use those up maybe within a couple weeks' time. Even if
so you're really only freezing them for a temporary hold so they don't spoil. Okay.
Yes.
And, Tim, why is that? Why it would seem to me that logic would say that smoked meat would last longer because it's been cooked than not. Why is it so much shorter?
Yeah, well, he said.
Yeah. And the smoked products in the freezer, they take a real pounding, especially in the flavor part of it. So let's take bacon for an example. If you, you know, and try it sometime, put some bacon in a freezer and leave it for, let's say, 3-4 weeks. Take it back out, and you'll notice a huge difference in less quality taste to bacon that's been frozen for that period of time. And it just, that's what happens. I mean, there's the cure in there. And again, because of the salt content that's in there, once your freezer is going to go through a defrost cycle, the salt in there is going to thaw even quicker yet because of the sodium level.
Sure, sure. Makes sense. Yep.
So now it's, I'll say, defrosted more further through the product because of the salt content in there than if something wasn't smoked and cured.
That makes total sense. I've never thought about that before. So let me ask you something else here. In the past, I got to know your buddy Scott from Superior Seafoods, and you've had some pretty cool sales up there. When are we going to get to see another seafood sale? I think we ought to be looking at that and do kind of a Grillin' Guys promo for some seafood, because Randy's been talking about these crab legs and all this stuff, and I got a hankering for some crab legs and some lobster and some crawfish, and I think we need to do a big old Grillin' Guys winter seafood festival at Sobeys.
We could do that with, you know, we'll do that with you guys, but unfortunately, and we used to do those seafood road shows about every quarter.
Right.
So we do like about 5 of them a year.
Right.
And they kind of lost their luster, and people just weren't coming in and shopping that. And there is one particular store, well, it doesn't matter because they're out of business now, but Plum's Market, they started doing that, and they had a perpetual road show every week. So that it, you kind of get sick of it, so to speak. So what we started doing, we have another supplier that we're using too, where our seafood prices are way, way more competitively priced. And the last two Christmas seasons, instead of having the seafood road show, we purchased all this seafood. And we only sold a quarter or a third of it, and now it's all sitting in the freezer.
Oh,
I just picked like 4 items: crab legs, lobster, scallops, and shrimp.
Well, I'm coming down there. I'm going to pick some of that up.
And we pounded them. Yeah, so we awesome prices on those. So,
dude, we're out of time.
Our pricing is way better.
We're out of time, and we got to skate the segment, but. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm going to come down right now after this show and grab some of those crab legs. So stand by.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. All right, take care.
You've been warned that Barbecue Bob is coming your way.
Okay.
All right, Tim, always great to talk with you. Thanks for making time. And
okay.
God bless and take care, my friend.
Okay, you guys too.
Thanks,
All
buddy.
Right. All right, coming up next, we're going to bring this train to the station. You're going to get a little lesson on a thermopen. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Nothing changes but the faces, the names, and the trends. High school never ends.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Now you're a man, a man, man, man. Now you're a man, a manny, manny, man, a man, man, man. You are now a man, you're a man.
man. Man law 42. A man will not live in his parents' house past the age of 27 unless they are ill or he is in the war.
Right. And did you come up with that number, being that Jordan just moved out at 26? I
mean, nope. I got this off of Al Gore's internet.
Okay. All right. Just checking, because there's a magic number there, and he's yeah. doing good now.
So no, good. You know what? And we always had a rule, you can't move back. But after college, when they're trying to get into the real adulting,
right?
I don't mind a year or two, and especially, I don't know, I love my kids so much. It's a joy to have them around.
Sure.
And I miss them when they're gone. He just went to work for Spectrum Health, and he's got a major career now, and he's just loving it. And I'm glad he had that little respite yep. to kind of regather on this side of the state.
Oh, yeah.
And get back used to being in West Michigan.
It's all good. Yeah. I was just I knew it was coincidental right
no,
there.
No, it so. Is. It's you're, there, I saw that, and I go, wow, yeah. we qualified.
You're right. Yeah.
So anyway, my thermal pen experience. So I had to buy first of all, thermal pen is on our website on the right side. And what you'll notice about any of our sponsors on that right column is if you click on the link, it's going to bring you to their latest deals on their website.
Right.
So I buy thermal pens as gifts.
Sure.
And I clicked on, and I got $20 off. And these people they're really efficient. They're out of Utah. It's an American-made product. It's fantastic. We talk about them all the time. And just about as much as we talk about Sobey and Old World and Garrett's and all these other people. But the thermopen is like part of your body. When you're grilling, you have that pen in your back pocket. And, of course, you have your chef spoon on your sleeve, right? Because you're always tasting and probing. It's like so many things. So,
speaking of Valentine's Day.
Yes. So I ordered one for a gift. And it's like it didn't show. So I emailed him, and I said, it didn't show. And within 2 minutes, and this was like yesterday at 6 in the morning Michigan time, which means it's like 3 in the morning in Utah.
Right.
I get this email back saying, it was delivered, and it is in your mailbox. So I jumped in. I was in my jammies. I jumped in my Jeep, ran down the driveway. There it is.
Wow.
Right in my mail. But, I mean, that's how efficient these people are.
Cool.
Not only did I save $20, my freight was only $3.
Yep. Well, and it's the number one tool for a barbecue guy. If you have no other tool,
I can use my hands to flip my meat.
Right. But you got to you don't want to overcook things. That's the number one error that everybody does, and it's because they have no idea what the internal temperature is of what it is that they're cooking. So it's just a great tool to have. We've said it over and over, but if you're looking for a gift for one thing for the grilling guy, or gal
yeah.
in your life, it's a digital thermometer, and ThermoPen's the best there are.
It's fantastic. The next thing you could do is, if you're looking for some cool grill supplies, go to people like Garrett's or some of these places that have a lot of cool grills and stuff, and get, you know, buy your friends grilling supplies or a grill.
Right.
I talked to a guy the other day. I met a grill freak when I was in Plymouth. The dude has 3 Weber kettles.
There you go.
And like 5 smokers.
Yep.
They're out there.
Yeah, those guys are out there. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Get out there and fire up a grill. Create a little grill envy in your neighborhood, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.